I was supposed to sing.
Is there no song?
No song.
It's okay. I don't mind.
Go ahead and sing for us, Dad.
No thanks.
You might find the book of Proverbs. I just got one little verse in Proverbs that I want to start with. I was waiting for somebody to come up and sing. Such is life. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm going to read that again. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a mouthful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and I pray that you'd give us your blessing, add your blessing to your word, and give us a calling, give us a leadership, give us direction, bring praise out of our hearts and lives to you and thanksgiving. We thank you for all your mercies and all your blessings that you've brought down upon us, and as we look at how you've handled us, Lord, we can't help but be thankful. Give me freedom and ease to speak, and may, Lord, we all come away with a blessing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Isn't that a tremendous verse? When a man's ways please the Lord, maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a pretty interesting thought. And yet we see it sometimes in the scripture, and we see it in life. As we look out at life and see things that come around. Have you ever felt like you were just cursed? I never have. I never have felt like I was cursed. I felt like I've been blessed. I think I was blessed in my parents. I think I was blessed in being born in Texas. I'm sorry about the rest of you that weren't born in Texas. But I was blessed. And the parents that I had and the family that I had, I was blessed. Man, I'm in America. Not just Texas, I'm in the United States of America. Do you know how blessed you are? Yes. When the little girl, Kenzie, was adopted and whatever, it just struck my mind. She has 1,000 times more opportunity than she ever had before. She's got a mother that loves her, and she's right here in America. Wow. I don't know why we aren't more thankful.
Yes, you're right.
I think we ought to really be thankful. I think we ought to be looking for things to be thankful about. But I feel like that as Americans, we're pretty much a complaining bunch. And I guess that's why we have so many inventions and so many great things, because we're looking around for something. Well, we could be better if I could do this or if we could do that, and somebody comes up with the idea and makes some money on it. And so, it's amazing that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, in Genesis 31:53, it makes a statement about Abraham and his family. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, that's his brother or his grandfather, the God of their father, that'd be Terah, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father, Isaac. The God of Abraham. I've always thought about, where did Abraham get his faith? Well, it looks like his father might have had some believing. His brother might have some believing. And his grandfather, there's two Nahors. There's the brother of Abraham, and then his grandfather is named Nahor. And here it looks like in this family, there was the worship of the one true God. Now, I don't know where they got it. I don't know who taught it or how they came about it. And then when we're looking at Jacob, when Jacob is leaving, taking his four wives, his two upper-class wives and his two lower-class wives and all their children, His wife that he loved so much stole her father's idols. Now, I don't know whether she stole them because she thought they were religiously important or whether it was because they're made of gold. I don't know which it is. But anyway, she got away with it. She got away with it. And boy, Jacob really gave his father-in-law a hard time. You come here charging me, where's the proof that I stole these things from you? Well, his favorite little daughter there, his wife, the one he worked for 14 years, 7 years, he got cheated, and then 7 more years. You know, I wonder, did she value those statues? Now, I wasn't raised Catholic. Now, some of you were raised Catholic. I wasn't raised Catholic. It was just completely foreign to my mind to bow down. To bow down to any idol. The idea of kissing Peter's big toe. And it's a marble statue, and it's worn away till the big toe's almost not there from kisses. Not from hammers. Not from files, from kisses over these hundreds of years. And my thinking, no, I didn't see any man that I was going to bow down before. And I wasn't raised that way. My daddy didn't raise me that way. And so my thinking of these people, it looks like they believed in the right God. And that's what he's saying there when he talks about it, the God of Abraham, that's Genesis 31:53, and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge betwixt us. They're calling upon God and they're calling on the real God. And so it looks like there's in this family, there is this truth and belief in the real God that created heaven and earth. Interesting to me. Genesis 32:9. And Jacob said, the God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Here is an interesting thing. I have all my life in reading the life of Jacob. I had problem by him being the supplanter. His deception, I mean, his taking advantage of his brother at a weak spot and knowing that he didn't value these things. And then when he cheats and steals the birthright and then the blessing. And then he has to run away to protect himself because he's not going to stand up and fight his brother. And he knows Esau is one tough dude. Esau wasn't somebody you should really get mad at you because he was a very strong man. He was a wild hunter, and he just lived a different kind of life than Jacob did. Jacob stayed around the kitchen and got cooked with mom. And that's, you know, completely different from a wild man going out and hunting and getting the harvest of the field. Anyway, here is Jacob now 40 years. He's 40 years old around that. He left home when he was in his 20s. He went down and got his wife, and he worked for his father-in-law for all those 20 years. His pay was changed various times. Well, now he's come to the place, he said, you know, I'm not going to have anything if I don't get away from here. And so he starts to go back. Now this, 20 years before, he had made something, had a specific scripture. This is Genesis 28:12. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Now that's a dream. Now, he had a son that had some real dreams. Remember Joseph? So a lot of people, I don't value my dreams. I hope you don't. I don't think God speaks to anybody that way anymore. Once he got the word of God out. At any rate, he goes back to that, and then when he comes to verse 10 of Genesis 32, he said, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies. What kind of mercies did he have? Well, he's a one lone man that's married into the family, but the family is where the wealth is right there. He goes down there with nothing. And then he begins to gather more and more wealth as his payment for the things that he had to do. And it looked like that his father-in-law and his brother-in-laws were going to take everything away from him. That's what his fear was. And he also, he was afraid of them for other reasons. Now, Jacob is an interesting man, especially interesting because he wants to be rich. Do you realize Abraham was rich? If you have 318 trained soldiers in your employ, you're rich. These people lived and had to protect themselves. They couldn't call the fire department. They couldn't call the policeman. They couldn't get up a suit and take it to the courts and try to get things right for them. They had to have soldiers, and they had to be able to fight and to be able to protect themselves and to keep what they had. Or else somebody else would come in, just like the old Comanches used to come and raid. They didn't have to plant crops because they'd go raid people who'd planted crops. Haul off whatever they had, you see. It was a kind of nomadic type of life. So he comes up here and he says in verse 10, Genesis 32:10, I am not worthy. How do you pray? Does that even come close to your mind? I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. All I had was a staff. Now I've become two bands. I've got a great big family. I've got four wives. I've got 12 children. I've got a lot of cattle, a lot of sheep, and a lot of camels and whatever. He's going back somewhere, and he's going to have to face something he ran away from 20 years before. But when he was running away, he had that dream. And he was in the land of Israel. And when God tells him, I'm going to give you this land you're sleeping on, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to, your seed is going to be like the sand of the land, multiplied numbers, what's his problem? Why is he praying this night? Why is he planning? Because he's got a brother that he deceived, took advantage of. He's got a father that he got the blessing from that was supposed to go to his brother. And he has a brother. Do you know why he left and got away? His brother swore to kill him. I'm going to kill him. That's the last thing he heard from Esau. Now then, he's got to go back where Esau is. He doesn't know anything about Esau. It's been 20 years. Know nothing about it except the same Esau that he knew was a very tough guy. And if he said he's going to kill you, he probably would kill you. Well, he says, I'm not worthy. You know, I've had to pray that prayer. I had one boy with spinal meningitis, and the doctor said there wasn't a thing they could do. And I had to pray. And I didn't pray, Lord, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Lord, I've passed out so many thousand tracts. Lord, I've preached to so many people. Lord, I've knocked on enough doors. I didn't pray like that. I said, Lord, I don't deserve to have a whole boy any more than anybody else. I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And then I had another boy that got scars in his eyes. And a doctor of 34 years experience told me, I said, How long will it take for those scars to go away? He said, in 34 years, I've never seen any of them go away. And so I had to pray. And I had to say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Other people have blind children. Other people have afflicted children. I don't have one. So I can see Jacob here, and it sort of fits in my thinking. I think I have been spoiled rotten by the Lord, and I didn't deserve it. I think I've been spoiled rotten by the Lord all the way in my whole life. He gave me a mother and a dad that loved me. I was born in the middle of the Depression. They did not want another baby. Just the natural process of time. And all of a sudden they got it. Well, they loved me. Bless your heart, I was loved. I consider myself spoiled rotten. Thank the Lord for that. And then, I tell you what, I was born in America. You ever think how good you got it? You ought to think how good you got it. Because you got it a lot better than most of the people in the world. When I lived in Guatemala, I got a real picture of what I had. They sweep dirt. Just dirt floors. Their flowers are cactus. You get off the pavement, you're going back 500 years. You'll have a man walking with about 4 cases of Cokes on his back with an ikapal, a head strap, and a rope. And he's going to carry him back in and sell them. When Eddie came back from Guatemala, he wouldn't go down and get a cold Coke. He would go down there and get a hot one because that's what he was used to drinking. You don't know how good you've got it. You ought to be getting up every day in your air-conditioned house or your heated house, in your comfortable bed, in your electric lights, driving your car back and forth. Man, what freedom is in a car? I'm waiting for the day. I hope it never comes for me where I can't drive anymore. But I'm getting old, and some old people, they can't drive, and they shouldn't be driving. Do you ever think, does it ever cross your mind every day just how good you've got it? If you're old and sick, man, you got medicines. You got help of all sorts. Wow. Are you worthy of that? Well, I get a better picture of Jacob here. I get a better picture of him when he's praying this prayer. I think that's just a beautiful prayer. And one that every one of us ought to learn. I'm not worthy of all of your mercies. But I've had a lot of mercy. Have you had a lot of mercy? Boy, not many amens on that. You sorry people, you've just been mistreated all of your lives. Your mom and daddy hated you. They didn't even feed you good. They put no clothes on you. You never learned to read or write. You don't have an air conditioning now. You don't drive a car now. You don't have store-bought clothes now. You sorry people, you're in bad shape. No, you're not. And the quicker we see it, the better off we'll be. We are the most blessed, spoiled people that ever walked the face of the earth. And we're always complaining, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. And they got a new car, and they got a new... So what? Here's a guy way back there thousands of years ago, and he's going to meet his brother. And his brother is a tough dude. And by the way, by this time his brother's pretty rich. He's coming with 400 other men. I don't know whether they're on horses or camels, but... The last thing that brother told him was, I'm going to kill you, because he took advantage of him at a downtime, and then he lied and went before his father and stole the blessing. Good night. He knows what he's going back to. And he says, coming from where he was, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of all the mercies that you've given me. Wow. You know something? How about the truth? How about the truth? You know what? I grew up in a house that had a Bible in it. I even had, by the time I was 10, 11, something like that, I had my own Bible. And I was taught that Bible, that book right there, that's the Word of God. They didn't give me any questions or all sorts of problems with the thing. No, that's the Word of God. I went to Sunday school classes, and they had me memorize some scripture, the Beatitudes, Psalm 23, Ten Commandments. How much light is that? How much truth is that? Just the Ten Commandments, just that light coming in. Even if you are anti-God, you knock off the first two commandments, how about the rest of them? Is there any light there? Yes, there's light there. A bright and shining light that shows what's wrong with your selfishness. Somebody's making a little cute thing saying, sin is spelled S-I-N. Take the I out of it and you don't have sin. There's a whole lot of truth to that. Your biggest problem is your I. Your biggest problem is yourself. You're selfish. Most of the problems in marriage come from two selfish people being in the same house. That's truth. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies. Now, you can hear Jacob complaining about his problem. I'd have complained too. If I wanted to marry Verlene and I wake up after my drunken stupor and wedding, and it was her sister. Johnny, where are you? He's not here today. Okay. Well, that would have been a problem. I worked 7 years for her. You say, well, why didn't he know? Because he's probably drunk. A lot of weddings, that's what they want to do. They really want to drink it up, have a big time. I'm not worthy of all the mercies. You're not worthy of all the mercies you have. Boy, you got a lot of mercies. We shouldn't be too much complaining. Born again Christians, saved people, got the Word of God, live in the comfort of America. Wow. All these young people today, they're not even learning how to play outside hardly because they don't want to get out of the air conditioning. We were lucky we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't even have a fan. Nobody went inside their houses when I was young until 10 o'clock at night because the house was still too hot. Are you blessed? Yes, you are blessed, and you ought to recognize that you're blessed. Now then, do you have truth? Do you know that there is one God and one God only, and He created everything? Do you know He's got a book? Do you believe the book? Have you read the book? Shame on you, some of you never even read it one time. Amen, Brother Lindell. Oh, that's good thought. I didn't get an amen. Not a one. Billy complains every once in a while and says, I didn't get an amen on that one. Well, I can claim on that one too. What about all the truth you've got? The Bible here gives us several things about salvation, eternity, God. He's worth knowing about. You can pray to Him. Do you know He wants you to pray? One of the biggest doctrines in this Bible is prayer, and another one next to it is faith. If you're talking about the number of verses that are in the Bible on prayer, it's one of the biggest doctrines in there. And faith, another one of the biggest doctrines in there. And if you have prayer and you have faith, you can get a hold of God. Think about it. That is a truth that you ought to thank God for. Every day you ought to thank God for. You ought to use it every day. Well, here's old Jacob. He's been selfish. He's out for himself. He wants to make himself rich. He's a young man doing what all young men do. Now he's coming back after 20 years. He's got four wives and 12 kids and herds of flocks. He's already faced his father-in-law, but he has an immediate need. Look at verse 11 in Genesis 32. His immediate need is, deliver me, I pray thee. He's talking to God. From the hand of my brother. Did he deserve to be beat up and whipped? And yes, he did. Jacob is a sorry scoundrel about half the time. He's a very selfish person. He's a deceiver. And just doing some bad things, like some of you. Amen? Oh, me. He says in verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, can you do this? Can you tell God, thou said? Oh yeah, you can. If you got a verse you can put your finger on. Thou said, what's he looking about? Thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. He goes to God. He said, I'm wanting protection against Esau, my brother. And then after he talks with God, he sets out a great big gift for Esau. Maybe I can appease him this way. Maybe I can give him enough things that he won't want to take it out of my hide. Well, back in Genesis 28:12, when he was 20 years old, or thereabouts, he got a rock for a pillow. I don't ever remember using a rock for a pillow. And I slept on gravel bars at night when I was a kid and on our farm. And I don't remember ever using a rock for a pillow. Sounds like a hard pillow. Genesis 28:12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. That's 20 years before. Now he's coming back. Got his father-in-law behind him, and that's turned around. He's got Esau in front of him, and he knows he's coming with 400 men. He's scared. You'd be scared, too, if you had any good sense. Some of you, you know, a problem with young people, I used to say, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Well, that wasn't exactly, that's an exaggeration. But I didn't think about me dying. When I had a buddy die while I was in the Air Force, taking my truck and my run, that woke me up. I said, 20-year-olds can die and have a horrible death. Well, here he is. He's got his problem. He's got Esau's coming his way. And he said, you said, 20 years before in a dream. Have you got a verse you can put your finger on? I got several. I got several verses. I do things like that. And my wife used to write verses down and put them on magnets on the refrigerator. You ought to do that. Sometimes you might ought to just, if you paint real well, why don't you just paint you a really nice one and hang it up somewhere where you can see it. Something that can help you and bring you back to common sense of somebody that believes in God, the God you serve. What's what he did? He reached back into his memory and he put his finger and said, thou said this. This is what you told me. I'm going to multiply you like the sand of the seashore. Your children are going to spread out to the north, east, west, and south. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be with you. And he says, 20 years later, he said, Lord, remember you said. It's not bad to do that with the scripture. Do you know that? If you know the scripture well enough, you can go and say, the Lord said. The Lord said. I don't know how many times I've been blessed by simply reading over certain scriptures. I used to use 3x5 cards. I still use 3x5 cards. But anyway, I used to use 3x5 cards and I would put verses I wanted to memorize on them and I'd pull them out of my pocket and shove them back in my pocket and whatever. And I learned a whole lot of verses. I had my two sons, because we were afraid of communism at the time. I had them, they memorized 100 verses of salvation scriptures from the Word of God before they could read and write. Why? I wanted that in their mind so that it would be there all the way down the line. Wow. Do you have a verse? Can you go to the Bible and say, God, you said. God, this is your word. You said this. You said this. You said this. I'm praying. I ask you to honor that word. I ask there to bless me, to have mercy upon me and to help me out. And I got a great big problem. I got a brother that's my twin. We don't look alike. We're not exactly twins. Just two babies born at the same time, not from the same egg. And he's a tough guy. He's mean. He likes to fight and bully, and he doesn't go into the kitchen and cook with mama. I'm not knocking on you if you do. I wish I had, because I'd be able to eat something besides what I do most of the time. He said, you said, I will keep you. Your seed's going to be as the dust of the earth. And listen, right at the end of verse 14, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What's that? That's Christ. In thy seed, all the families of the world are going to be blessed. Their sins are going to be paid for. All they have to do is receive it. It's the greatest good news ever been in the whole history of the world. That Christ died for you. You don't deserve heaven. You deserve hell. You don't deserve to be thought well of. You deserve to be judged accordingly. And yet, by grace of God, he gave Jesus Christ to die in your place and establish a righteousness that will guarantee you eternal life in heaven. And you'll go there as a son of God, just as Jesus is a son of God. Wow. How about all the truth? How about the truth you have? I am so thankful for the truth that I know. I'm so thankful for this book in my hand. I'm thankful for that gospel that's so free, so open. I can't lose it. Let me tell you what. I can lose my keys. I can lose my phone. I can lose a lot of things and not know where they are, and they're still in my house. You're about the same way. And then I go into HEB, and about just ever so often, they turn everything around. I used to know where I could buy certain things, and I can't buy them there anymore. I got to go ask. I say, where is this? You moved it on me. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Wow. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you actually talk to him? Do you pray? He wants you to pray. Do you pray? You ought to pray. You ought to ask God for mercy. You ought to thank God for all the truth you know. Do you realize that the truth you know, many people on the face of this earth, many people in this town, many people in this wonderful country do not know? They don't know it. You talk to them, it's like you're talking Greek. I was visiting around here, one of these neighborhoods, and teenage boy sitting out on the front porch. And I said, you ever hear the story of Daniel in the lion's den? No. Did you hear about David and Goliath? No. My grandmother was teaching it to me when I was running around. I still say it, Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. That's the way she taught it to me. Do you have that in your background? You ought to thank God for it.
Yeah.
You ought to thank God somebody brought a Bible to you. You ought to thank God somebody took you to a vacation Bible school. You ought to thank God that somebody taught you in a Sunday school class. Maybe with your folks didn't even go to church. Somebody came by and picked you up, or maybe your folks took you to church, to Sunday school or whatever, and they didn't even go themselves, but they took you there and you heard the message and you got a hold of it and you got Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wow, are you blessed.
Amen.
You don't deserve it. You're not even thankful for it. Oh me. Sorry about messing with you that way. Genesis 32:24. Jacob was left alone and there wrestled a man with him till the breaking of day. Sometimes you gotta fight God. Sometimes God wants you to stand up and demand. God wants you to work by faith and work by faith. Not only to believe, but to keep on fighting. Well, here's Jacob. And he's left alone and wrestled a man with him till the breaking of the day. He's wrestling with God, by the way. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. That's Jacob's thigh. Any of you ever do any wrestling? If your thigh's out, boy, you're through. You know that? That's the truth. If you're a boxer and your knuckles are all skinned up and broken or whatever, you're not going to do well in a boxing match, are you? Well, if you're a wrestler and your thigh is out of joint, you don't have an opportunity, do you? That's the way Jacob was. Jacob was down. Physically, he was down. He was touched by the angel of God, and he didn't stand a chance physically to win. And this angel or God or however it is said, let me go. Day's coming up. Let me go. What'd Jacob say? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's desperation, man. Have you ever been to that place? I can't turn loose. I can't quit now. And yet I don't have strength to go on. He never had the strength to whip God in the first place. No way. You think you can wrestle an angel? Good night. I heard the description of one angel in the Bible. It says one foot's on the land, one foot's on the sea. That's a big angel. That ain't your size. Ain't no 6 foot seven, no 7 foot two. No. That's way big. You don't stand a chance going against an angel. You know that? And yet, by faith, he says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Why don't you get a hold of God a few times in your life? Why don't you get serious with God? God is out to listen to everything you want to say. God has said, I love to answer your prayers. I love to have communion with you. I will teach you. I will protect you. I will love you. I will bless you. And that's what he said right here. You know what he said? What's your name? Jacob means supplanter. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. But Israel. Wow. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. He didn't prevail by his physical strength. He prevailed by his faith and his determination to have God's blessing that God had promised him. The word of God told him. That was his message 20 years before. And he said, now that I'm in trouble, and you told me I was going to have all these things. Well, if Esau has his way with me, I won't have all those things. Why don't you look at Genesis 33, verse 4. Very interesting verse. Genesis 33, 4. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and wept. There's your big tough brother. There's the guy that hated your guts. There's the one that you were afraid that he would kill your wives and your children in his rage and his anger. Look at that verse. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and they wept. I've been in revival meetings. Happened several times in my life when somebody from over here doing an invitation would get out and come back over here and find somebody back over here and fall on their neck and they start crying, hugging each other and saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, help me. I shouldn't let it go this long. You remember when the person went up to the temple and he had a gift for God? But he thought as he went up there, I've got this problem between me and my brother. Jesus said, leave your gift. Go back and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer the gift. Some things are important. God Almighty just put two brothers together. God Almighty just wiped out the hate. And by the way, even wiped out the sins. And this great big boy with 400 men with him could run to his brother he hadn't seen in 20 years and hug him and kiss him. And when he tried to give him gifts, he said, I don't need them. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm loaded. I've got everything. I don't need it. Keep your gifts. He said, no, you take the gifts. Take the gifts. He had a guilty conscience. He had because of his selfishness. And the way he took advantage of his brother at a time when he knew, and then the way he lied to his father and whatever, good night. That's such a beautiful verse. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and they wept. Isn't that beautiful? That is absolutely beautiful. I talked to a man one time that I was witnessing to him. He was an old man. He told me he hadn't talked to his brother in 50 years. I don't know what the problem was, but you ought to get on the phone. I had a father and a son. The son's a grown man. But they had this estrangement. And the father was talking to me. It's he should be calling me. And I said, no, you should be calling him. You got this estrangement? You see it, take care of it. Tell somebody you're sorry. Tell somebody you want to have a good relationship with them. Tell somebody, I've been forgiven by God for so many things. How can I not forgive you? Amen? How many blessings do you have? You got one or two? Is that all you have? I don't know about you. I am richly blessed. You might not think so, but I think so. I am richly blessed. You know, I live in a house that got air conditioning, got heating, it's got electricity, it's comfortable. I'm blessed. You know, I go to a church where the Word of God is preached. I have fellowship with people. We agree on something. Maybe they're not, but 100 of us are. I think we basically are about 300 people, and some of you just don't show up but every once in a while. I'm blessed. I have been blessed. Are you blessed? Maybe you ought to thank God about it. You know, God notices things like that. Did you know your own parents would notice something like that? If you never said thank you. Thank you for cooking the food. Thank you for washing the clothes. Thank you for providing the money for us to have a car. Thank you. We ought to be thanking God Almighty of all our blessings. You are blessed. Count your blessings. That old song is just as true as can be. Count your many blessings. David knew a little bit about it. Psalm 34:4, he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Well, that's where I am standing right today. I think it's where some of you are standing right today. You sought the Lord. He delivered you from your fears. Psalm 34:5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. How many prayers have been answered for you that you've forgotten? You ought to be thanking God. You ought to be remembering where God has done these things for you, and you should not put him on the back bench.
That's right.
He ought to go up first.
Amen.
You ought to have it in your heart to ask God to forgive you and thank him for all the forgiveness and thank him for all the answered prayer and thank him for the blessings he gave you that you didn't even pray for. How rich are we? We're just plain rich beyond imagination. And I'm afraid we're not careful to be thankful. I really am. This poor man cried. Do you know what old Jacob could do? He could say, you said, Lord, you said. You can do it better than him. Oh yeah, I had one dream one night 20 years ago. You got the Word of God in your hands, at your house every day. Some of you got it on the radio in your car. Some of you carried it around on your telephone. You can read the New Testament in just a few days. It's not very big. It's just about a fourth of the Bible. And the New Testament is the light of Almighty God shining down on this sinful world with what a great opportunity that we have. Yeah, we're sinners. Yeah, people sin against us. Yeah, some of us get treated badly sometimes. But you know, if you really thought about it, you might ought to be thankful to God. You might ought to just bow your heart down, bow your head down, and say, Lord, I am a selfish human being. Forgive me for my selfishness, for thinking of myself all the time. And thank you for all the blessings you've given me and all the truth you've given me. Turn to hymn 242. Jesus, I come. If you're here and not saved, I want you to know Jesus Christ died in your place. I want you to know He paid your debt. And you can go to heaven.